We're teaching on the book of Romans on our Wednesday night men's class. You'll pray for that as we progress through the epistle to the Romans. As we take a look at the Holy Scripture today that God has preserved, we are in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. We're on this section of warning that to much of the modern churches, many of the modern churches today, they don't see it as a warning at all. And you know, you have a big problem if you have a Bible that has warnings and nobody is warned. Nobody believes it's a warning. It's a serious state of affairs. And I'm praying. I have a burden, and I pray it'll increase even more, and I pray you'll get some of it, and I know that many of you do have it, that God would awaken folks in this day and age. If God's people don't get a burden for the fear of God, if you don't get burden for the churches today, the solemn assembly, as he says in Zephaniah, the reproach of the solemn assembly, if you get a burden for it, I think God would do something in America. And at the very least, and it's a lot, would account you worthy to escape what's coming. Because he that let will let until he be taken out of the way. And I pray God would count us worthy of salt to be hindering this Antichrist spirit that's going on today. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 5, it says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." I've been preaching Friday night and Saturday night, and I pray God will have my voice hold up today. And let's ask God to be in the sermon, all right? Dear Lord, bless the sermon today. Be with the preaching. I pray, God, my voice will not give out. But Lord, I pray that You would please reveal Your truth to all of us here in a deeper way. And let it be in our hands and our feet, God, and our actions and our deeds, Lord, that we be not just hearers of Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I want you to see, before we move on past this section, I want you to see that there is an eternal inheritance that every believer has as a child of God. I want you to really think today. This is going to be a thinking sermon. I want you to think. Every believer is a child of God, and every believer as a child has an eternal inheritance. Okay, did you know you have an eternal inheritance? This in the Bible is called the gift of the inheritance. The gift of the inheritance. And the fact that God has given you such a gift should make you willing to suffer for Jesus. Suffer against your flesh, your bad habits. Nobody has ever given you a greater gift than Jesus has given you, eternal life forever and ever. There is no wicked habit that you ought to keep to yourself that grieves your Lord in the face of such a gift. And I promise, if you're not crying now, you'll be crying then. Okay? You're going to cry one day to see how much Jesus has loved you and how you had that one opportunity while you were down here in the body, in this body. You had one opportunity to respond to Him in love. What wicked habits do you keep to yourself? What wicked deeds do you want to keep that you think somehow in this brief life that you have before you turn to dust, what wicked habits do you think you need to keep is somehow going to bless you when you could lay them down? If Abraham was willing to lay down Isaac, I think we ought to be able to be willing to lay down anything that offends God. I want to talk today about this wonderful, unspeakable gift that Jesus has given to you. So we look here. The first item we have here is the gift of the inheritance by faith alone. Let's study out some scripture references to this gift of the inheritance by faith alone. In other words, you get this gift by faith alone. Notice 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love." the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love that you are a child of God. Are y'all listening? Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, that means you have to do something, work, obey God's commandment. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. For ye are all the children of God by doing good works. No, sir. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, his child, his descendants, and heirs according to the promise. So guess what? You are an heir of an inheritance, and it's not of the law, it's by promise, and it's by faith. So it's not by working, it's not by keeping God's commandments, it's not by obeying the Ten Commandments, it's not by being baptized, it's not by being a good Christian, it's not by giving up your wicked habits, your harmful habits, it's by simply believing. And you get to be a child of God by believing. And because you're a child, you have an inheritance freely given to you. What manner of love? Have you ever thought about that? What manner of love? Acts 26. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When you got saved, you got sanctified, which means God cleansed you. He made you perfect in the eyes of God. He gave you the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, you are justified. There is no condemnation to you eternally because you are in Christ Jesus in this positional sense. By faith, you believe. Now you are in Christ. You have the forgiveness of sin. Your eternal sin debt has been removed. You will not now pay an eternal penalty for your sin. You have also been given an inheritance. A child gets an inheritance from his father. You have been given an inheritance by faith. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It's not something you're going to obtain. It's something you have obtained. You have an inheritance that you cannot lose that has been given to you because you are a child of God. Look at Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Notice what love, what manner of love. You should give thanks unto Him, right? Present your body a living sacrifice. Notice, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Aren't you glad you have an inheritance? Aren't you glad that God, because you're not a son of Satan, positionally, you're a son of God, a child of God, you have an inheritance. And it's a wonderful gift that God has given you as His child. In other words, being a child of God comes with certain benefits. Certain privileges. If you got adopted into a household, depending upon what house you got adopted in, there are privileges related to that house. Romans 4 puts it very clear. Notice Romans chapter 4. For what saith the Scripture? That is the Old Testament. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Take a look at that again. I want you to see it. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Do you realize that if it wasn't of grace, if it was of the law, it would not be sure to all the seed. Do you see that? This heir of the world, this inheritance of Abraham, if it was of the law, if you had to be good to get this inheritance, it would not be sure to all the seed. In fact, I'm convinced it wouldn't be sure to anybody except Jesus. Everybody would miss it. All have come short. All have fallen short. So praise God, Abraham has an inheritance. Not by the law. It's by faith. Unto him that worketh not. Just in case some theologian comes with a smart mouth and wants to tell you, well, hold on a second. Just because it's not of the law, it's still of works. Well, you're condemned by Scripture. It says right here, what Paul means by not of the law means it is not of works. He worketh not. The ungodly man gets justified. Oh, I praise God we have an inheritance. And it's not that God's against good works. It's just you are wicked. I am wicked. And we need grace. Oh, now it's sure to you. You understand that? You have a promise. It is sure to you. It's an inheritance. But now let's switch gears. Let's switch gears. Let's look over now at the prize of the inheritance by faith and works. The prize of the inheritance. We've seen the gift of the inheritance by grace. By faith. Now let's look at the prize of the inheritance by faith and works. Notice we're talking about another inheritance now, or another aspect of the inheritance. That's why I titled the message, Despising the Double Portion. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. There's a prize for you. Did you know that? And this prize is not something you just receive as a gift. You have to run. Which means there's something you have to do. There's some battles you have to fight. Let's worship God right now by your attentiveness to His Scripture. Philippians 3, verse 11. If by any means, does that sound like Paul's just resting or working? He's striving, isn't he? If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. There is some resurrection that he is striving to attain to. I press toward the mark. Does that sound like he's resting or striving? Striving. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. In other words, if you're not immature, if you're not carnal, this is how you're going to be. This is how you're going to think. You're going to think I'm striving for the prize. Which means we have very many unspiritual, imperfect Christians today. And I'm just talking about maturity. We have an immature church today because they do not press for the prize. He says, as many as be perfect, let them be thus minded. And what that tells me is there is a lot of immaturity and carnality in our churches today. Because they are not pressing for the prize. They don't understand the prize. Let's move on. Colossians 3. Whatsoever you do. So we're in the realm of law now. We're in the realm of doing. Not Mosaic law per se, but the law of Christ, which takes all of the moral teachings of the Mosaic law and sums them up in the law of love. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive, now don't miss this language, the reward of the inheritance. Did it say the gift of the inheritance? For ye serve the Lord Christ. Are we in the realm of doing here? We're in the realm of serving, aren't we? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Well, this is just like we have over here in Ephesians. We have, you better try to get this inheritance. If you don't get it, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Do you see this? Somebody's going to receive for the wrong which he hath done. Look at Ephesians 5:5, the text that we're preaching on today. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. The wrath of God's coming upon these other folks that don't receive this inheritance. Is the unbeliever going to receive this inheritance? Of course not. This is a special prize for God's children. They don't receive the gift of the inheritance, and they're not going to receive the prize of the inheritance. They're not going to receive the reward of the inheritance. Galatians chapter 5, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do, we're in the realm of doing. You see this? Such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is important because a lot of people focus upon this word in Ephesians 5, and they say, this is no inheritance in the kingdom. See, I still get in the kingdom, I just don't get any inheritance. But no, don't mess with God's language here. There's inheritance in the kingdom, and it's the kingdom itself. It's the rule and reign in the kingdom. But Galatians puts it plain, you shall not inherit the kingdom. And if you don't inherit the kingdom of God that's to come to this earth, then you must be cut off out of it. Do you see? Because that's exactly what the parallel, that's what the type tells us in the Old Testament. They did not inherit the land, and they were plucked off. See? Look at Revelation 11. If you want to know what the kingdom is, Revelation 11, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Alright, so the kingdom of God is going to occupy what? The earth. The kingdoms of this world are going to be taken over by Jesus because it belongs to Him. He's got the title deed to this earth. All power has been given unto Him. And pretty soon He's going to run this earth just like He runs heaven. And you're to pray for it. Or if you want Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. So the Lord's coming. If you say, well, the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdoms of God, the kingdoms of this earth, what's going to happen to all the evil? Well, He's got to pluck it out. People say, well, doesn't it say that the Lord's kingdom's not of this world? It's not of this world if you mean of this time period, of this age. But it is of this world if you mean He's going to come to this physical earth and set up His throne and set up His kingdom. And a lot of evil people are going to be plucked out so you can have a nice, peaceful kingdom. He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. And you get to reign with Him if you're not doing iniquity. Because it says whoever's doing iniquity gets plucked out. That's why it says Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. This is that resurrection Paul was praying for over in, if by any means he was striving for in Philippians 3. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him, how long? 1,000 years. How long does Jesus reign in this kingdom? 1,000 years. How long do you reign with Him in this kingdom? 1,000 years. You see this kingdom also in 1 Corinthians 15. Then cometh the end. when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till... How long does it say he reigns over here? 1,000 years? What does it say here? He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So I want you to see there is a temporary kingdom. There is a temporary kingdom that if you will labor, you get to enter into. It's a kingdom that he's bringing to this earth. There is an eternal kingdom. There is an eternal kingdom, but there is a special portion of eternity sliced out, set aside as a prize. You say, well, what is it? Well, I've already showed you. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of Christ. He's going to pluck out everything out of his kingdom that offends him. But if you want it put even more plainly than this, look at Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. That's in the realm of doing something. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, why did he substitute earth here for kingdom of God? Because what? That's where his kingdom is going to be, on this earth. Now we're in the realm of doing, because he's talking to his saved disciples that have believed in him. See? So if you will be meek, which is open to God's Word, not hardened toward God, not hardened toward God's commandments. If you will have a soft heart when you hear God's Word and His will. Blessed are the meek, for they are going to inherit the earth. There's an inheritance that comes by being meek. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize persecution for righteousness' sake means you are doing something righteous and the world doesn't like it and you are being persecuted for it? But notice here he doesn't say the earth, he says the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people think this is heaven. But it's not, it's the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is establishing a kingdom upon this earth. But look at verse 19. And my point here in verse 10 is, it is often possible to escape persecution if you'll just quit being righteous. If you'll quit letting your light shine before men. Millions of Christians could have avoided death by the lions if they'd have simply said Caesar's God. If they just simply confessed that he's one of the gods along with Jesus and everybody else. Many times it's easy to escape persecution. Just quit shining your light. Quit being righteous. Everybody will like you. And Jesus says, woe when all men speak well of thee. Jesus said, my friends are whoever does the will of God. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See. Move on to verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, we're in the realm of doing here, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to here. Listen to what the verse says. You get in the kingdom because you're breaking the least of the commandments. But in the kingdom, you're going to have a lot of people bossing you around for 1,000 years. You're going to have to look at every saint you despised that was very careful and meticulous. And they did things that you laughed at and mocked and says, well, that's just legalistic. I don't have to worry. You've got to be bossed around by them for 1,000 years. Not just in the church for this brief life. For 1,000 years. And I believe many times God just has a way. He did it with the rich man and Lazarus. He has a way of putting you in the kingdom near those people that you had relationships with. So I do believe that this is how it's going to be. You want to despise the little things? You want to give me a headache as a pastor? You want to give God a headache about certain things where I always have to pull you and wait and wait and wait and convince you and strive with you week after week after week after week to grow and grow and grow? There's payback time coming. See? There's payback time coming. When you have to say yes sir, yes ma'am to people that rule you in the kingdom, you still get in the kingdom. You still get in the kingdom, but you're going to be least in the kingdom. I want you to see verse 20 though. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now the Pharisees and scribes, they obeyed the least of the commandment. They tithed and did things like that. And praise God they did. And Jesus said, these you ought to have done. It was a good thing you did these things. But you neglected the big things. You say, what are the big things? Well, he gives you a list of them in Galatians 5. Fornication, drunkenness, all of these, witchcraft, all of these things. The things that relate to love and mercy in a greater way. Justice. He's told us in Ephesians the things that you must do to miss the kingdom. He's told us in Corinthians the things you must do to miss the kingdom. He tells us in Galatians the things you must do to not inherit the kingdom. So if you break the little commandments, you get in the kingdom, but everyone bosses you around. If you break the big ones, like the Pharisees did, you don't even enter the kingdom. Which means you do not receive this inheritance. Proverbs 3, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. It's very foolish not to obey God's commandments. You know why? Because it's such an act of love. You know what God said? He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you on the basis of the mercies of God that you beseech, that you present your body a living sacrifice. He says, it's your reasonable service if you're not a fool. But a fool says, I'm going to receive this wonderful gift that God gave me, but I'm going to go kicking and screaming, stiff-necked and stubborn like a mule. Anytime God wants me to grow. And finally God says, okay, time's up, you're dead. And God says, now let's see how you did. Let's open the book and see how you did. You say, well God, I thought I was going to get a lot more time. See, the wise are going to inherit glory. Glory. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. We're in the realm of doing, aren't we, Brother Orlando? Amen. Look at Psalms 37. For evildoers shall be cut off. We saw that in Matthew, didn't we? He's going to pluck out everything that offends him. But those that wait upon the Lord. In other words, a lot of people aren't going to pat you on the back, Brother John. If you do right for God, they're not going to come and say, well done, John. Now, the saints will sometimes when they remember. But you got to wait on God. You got to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, even though nobody pats me on the back and says, well done. But one day, God will come. We got to wait on Him, right? Amen. Wait on Him. Yeah, you're going to be mocked out here. Noah was mocked by an entire generation. You're going to be mocked by this world. Just wait on God. Keep doing what's right. Wait on God. They that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There it is again. What's that? The coming kingdom. That's the coming kingdom. You inherit it because you were good. Quit talking in the back row. Quit talking. We're preaching the Word of God. Word of God serious. Look at verse 29. The righteousness shall inherit the land. The righteous shall inherit the land. That's serious business, isn't it? We got to be righteous and you inherit something. Wait on the Lord and keep His way and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. There it is. Just wait. Keep his way. Wait on him. He's going to exalt you. You'll be the ruler. You'll be the head. And you'll get to rule in the coming kingdom, the land. Because Israel's going to be the capital of the kingdom, isn't it? New Jerusalem's going to come down right there in Israel. The throne of God's going to be on the earth. That mountain of the Lord. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. They're going to laugh at you right now, even the wicked Christians. You say, wicked Christians? What are you talking about? Well, why don't you read the book of Corinthians and see, cast that wicked one from among you. That's the church, man. He is a believer. He repents later and gets restored back to the church. I'm showing you verses that talk about an inheritance that is of what? Works. Doing. Psalms 25. What man is he that feareth the Lord? His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Oh, I want every father to wake up and listen to me right now. Watch this now. Every mama, listen to me. It's not just your soul in the coming kingdom. It's your children. If you'll fear God, God gives you a promise here. Your children will inherit the earth. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you want your children to inherit the earth? A lot of people do wrong. A lot of mamas and daddies go bad. And they don't realize. You just disqualified your children. Because they're going to follow your example. They're going to learn from you. Let me now show you Abraham's inheritance in two parts. We have studied the gift of the inheritance that's not of the law. We have studied the prize of the inheritance, the reward of the inheritance, which is by working, striving, obeying Christ as your head. Now I want to show you that this was plainly revealed to Abraham in two parts. So nobody could miss it unless you have an NIV. Because the New Bibles, coming from Catholic and Greek Orthodox manuscripts, which are work salvation, butcher the grace of God. Let me show you Genesis 15. Abraham's inheritance in two parts, the gift and the prize. Genesis 15, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. What do you see there? You see an inheritance. And it has to do with the land. It has to do with the seed. And you see it coming by faith, not by works. Do you see that plainly? In case you didn't see it, the New Testament will make sure you see it. Romans 4. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, that's back here in Genesis 15, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. All right. Abraham's going to be the heir of the world. Abraham's going to live on earth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. His seed's going to live on the earth forever and ever and ever. And this promise is not by works. It's not by the law. It was given to him by faith. Abraham believed. God gave it to him. You believed in Jesus. And you have eternal life on this eternal earth by faith. People say, well, I thought I was going to live in heaven forever. Well, you thought wrong. Quit listening to the radio and read your Bible. It says in Revelation chapter 21, that God comes down and dwells with men. You don't go dwell with God. He dwells with you. And then the book ends. Now, if you want to fantasize and write some Christian novels or something, imagine what goes on after that, you go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. When God says the end, I just keep it there. God comes down, dwells with man, He says the end. Bye. That's it. Now, let's contrast this gift of the inheritance by faith. Let's contrast that to what takes place a few decades later in Genesis 22. He said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." Oh my, are we in the realm of believing, or are we in the realm of doing and sacrificing? Oh, I tell you what. And he said, "Lay not thy hand." I wonder what you would do if God asked you to. Well, I wonder what you'd do for God if He asked you. I wonder what you'd do for God. What would you do for God if He asked you? What would you give up for God? Well, let's start right now and let's obey the things He's told us to do, right? We can start there. He deserves it, doesn't He? Does He deserve it? All right, well, then let's go obey God and give Him what He wants. He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." We're in the realm of doing. "Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And listen to what God says. "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." Isn't that something? The Lord doesn't swear by anybody but Himself. "For because thou hast done this thing." Did He say because thou hast believed? Because you're a Christian. Because you have the righteousness of Christ. "Because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thy only son." See, God has to add extra information because He knows these deceivers are going to come. So, it is clearly laid out for you. Because He was willing to sacrifice Isaac, that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Uh-oh. So, the seed of Abraham gets an inheritance by faith, just like Abraham got it. But now the seed of Abraham gets an inheritance by the walk of faith. I want you to see what Abraham has done. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac, and God gives him a blessing. Does He give him the original blessing in Genesis 15? Does He give him the original blessing in Genesis 15? In Genesis 15, He said, "You're going to be the heir of the world." Is that the one He's getting now for sacrificing Isaac? He already had that one, right? So, this is why the language is so important here. That in blessing, the one you already had in Genesis 15 is still yours. But now I'm going to bless you more. In blessing, I will bless thee. Which is why manuscripts found in the Vatican and found in a Greek Orthodox monasteries scratch that out. So it just says, "Abraham, because you've sacrificed for me, now I'm really going to give you that blessing I promised you by faith over in Genesis 15. You really get it now, wink, wink." Isn't that how some people understand the gospel? Well, believe on the Lord, you know, by faith. And as long as you do this and this and this, you'll really get it. And I keep holding it over you for the whole rest of your life. Well, now you really get it. And they keep going to the altar. "I think I really did it this time." What a shame. There's a blessing that's free because you're a child of God, because you believe, just like Abraham believed. And there's a blessing that comes when you do the works of Abraham and you walk the walk of faith like Abraham does. And He'll give you the second blessing. People say, "That church over there believes in the second blessing." Well, you better believe I believe in the second blessing, because there's two blessings right here. One blessing's free. The second blessing you got to sacrifice for. Abraham's inheritance is in two parts, right here, two parts. There's the gift, there's the prize. Now notice how the New Testament just makes this so clear. James chapter 2. "Hearken, my beloved Jew," unsaved Jew. No, "hearken, my beloved brethren, Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? That has to do with obeying God. That's how you show your love. There's a kingdom that you get by loving God. That's what Abraham did here. You know when Abraham laid down his Isaac? That was a response of love to what God has done. Oh, it has to do with fear, but we fear Him because we love Him. You understand that? We love Him because we fear Him. They go together. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by grace? Is that what he says? When Luther didn't understand this, he got so confused, he said, this scripture can't even be inspired. It can't be inspired. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You cannot butcher this and pervert it. This has nothing to do with a faith that is really working. This has to do with faith and works. So if this justification is how you're saved in eternity, well, you got a mess. Was Abraham justified by faith, like Paul says in Romans 4? Or was he justified by works, like James says here? Well, we're talking about two different inheritances. We're talking about two different aspects of the inheritance. One is a justification by believing. That's how you become a child of God, and you get a free inheritance to be the heir of the world. You're going to live on this earth forever and ever with God, and it's free. Now go love Him because He gave you such a good gift. Quit striving against God. Quit being so hard-headed and stubborn about things. Be tender and meek and open to the Word of God and start growing and helping those around you grow by your example. And if you'll become like that, God says, because you've loved Me, because you've done these things for Me, I'm going to give you a second blessing. I'm going to justify you as a son. There's a justification of a sinner, that's by faith. And there's a justification of a son, that's by works. Or works mixed with faith. Do you see this? Or, if you haven't seen it yet, look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, you beloved unsaved Jew. No. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany... I'm not going crazy, I'm just going back here to check the baptism, so y'all understand that. That pastor, do you see what he does? He goes back there and looks. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Well, that's in the realm of works, isn't it? We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Remember the pressing of Paul, the striving, the race? Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith alone inherit the promises. Is that what it says? Faith and patience. Friend, either fix the Bible, and you need to do what the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox did and scratch out a lot of things so you can have salvation by faith in the sacraments. But whatever you do, don't be double-minded and tell me you believe in the grace of God, but then tell me, but I also believe in faith and patience, and be talking about the same salvation. No, that's crazy. This is through faith and patience. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, that's back in Genesis 15, I will bless thee. That's the second blessing. In multiplying, the one you got for free, I give you now another one for being patient. So after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The first promise? He already had that one. What promise did he obtain? The second promise. If you will obey God, if you will love Him, if you will seek after God, He's going to give you this promise. I will give you a blessing. You're going to inherit the earth. When can that be? How does Abraham inherit the earth for free, but yet he inherits the earth for patiently enduring? There has to be two separate times. And the book of Revelation says, now let's bring everything together. And he waited to the end to bring it together. But he brings it all together and says there's a 1,000-year period. This is for overcoming. And then there's eternity. Isn't it wonderful? Well, you'd be in a mess without the book of Revelation. You understand that? Praise God, the book of Revelation comes, straightens everything out for us. I'm sure they understood the millennium in some ways by the 6 days of Genesis and things such as that. But praise God, we have it so clear in the book of Revelation. The first aspect of the inheritance is the eternal by the gift. The other part of the inheritance is the millennial, which has to do with the prize. Real quickly, let's go over this last and final thing. The birthright. The birthright is the double portion of the inheritance. It is not the inheritance. It is the double portion of the inheritance. Let me make this clear to you. Genesis 25, verse 31. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, Jacob gets an inheritance because he's a child of Jacob. He knows he has an inheritance. Just like you know you have an inheritance. But what Jacob wanted was the birthright. Why would he want the birthright? If Jacob already gets an inheritance because he's a son, what kind of birthright is he talking about? Esau was the what? Firstborn. Well, what type of birthright does he get? Esau said, behold, I'm at a point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know what a lot of Christians do? Because they get hungry out here in the world. They say, what good the kingdom going to do for me? What good's 1,000 years going to do for me now? I have my flesh. I want to feed my flesh. I'm hungry. Hebrews 12, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, you say, what is this thing that Esau sold? What is it that Jacob wanted? He already had the inheritance. What did he want? Well, look at 1 Chronicles 5. Deuteronomy 21. He shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. Uh-oh. If you're the firstborn, what do you get? A double portion. You get your inheritance like all the children do, but you get a double portion for being firstborn. Jacob knew he had an inheritance, and he knew Esau had an inheritance, but he said Esau gets a double portion. He says, Esau, are you hungry? Esau says, I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. You know how a lot of he-men get? I'm going to die if I don't get food. So, Jacob says, I want the double portion. Give it to me. I want the double portion. He was wrong in the way he went for it, but he wasn't wrong in desiring it. Look at 1 Chronicles 5. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. Uh-oh, now what are we seeing? You can lose the double portion. You can be disqualified from it, and it can be given to somebody else. Look at 2 Chronicles 21. Their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things, with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Isn't that beautiful scripture? There's some kingdom you get for being the firstborn. There's some kingdom you get for getting not just the inheritance, but the birthright. Is this how you get eternity? No. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Somebody is going to be glorified with Jesus because they suffer with Jesus. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, whether the He is Christ here, that is firstborn among many brethren, or whether this is a special calling of the believer, the result is the same. Christ, as the seed of Abraham, gets the inheritance of Abraham. But there was one inheritance, which was by believing only, right? So if you are a child of Abraham, you get an inheritance by faith alone. But here, Christ, as the firstborn, gets a what? A double portion. Well, if you're going to share with Christ, not in His deity, but in His inheritance, then you get to share in the inheritance that He gets for free and in the inheritance that He gets by overcoming. So, as we laid this out, as clear, I believe the Scriptures are very clear on the subject. We have gone step by step. There is an inheritance that is free by simply believing, that Abraham got by simply believing. Yet there is a second blessing, a second inheritance that you get by suffering for the Lord, being a good Christian, overcoming your bad habits and temptations. And if you want all of this proven, I'll just tie it together with the book of Revelation, which ties everything together. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." What did Jesus say? There is a suffering with me, and you'll get to receive an inheritance. It's through suffering. It's through overcoming.
Amen.
It's going to hurt a little bit. Well, the Bible says it's not for very long. It's just for a little while. You suffer against sin, against the flesh, against the world, against the devil, and you receive an inheritance, a double portion that the firstborn son receives. It's glorious. How do you get a double portion? If you're going to be dwelling with the Lord for all eternity, how can you get a double portion? The Lord simply sliced out of eternity 1,000 years and called it the kingdom. And says, if you'll obey me, do what's right, I'll give you this kingdom. Therefore, salvation is by grace through faith alone in eternity. You don't have to say you lose your salvation. You don't have to mess up the Word of God. Everything is clear. Eternal salvation is by grace through faith. But the kingdom, the 1,000 years, is for overcoming, suffering. Abraham's second blessing, the double portion of the inheritance. Let's pray, and then Brother Scott, I'm going to ask you to come up and lead us in a song as we prepare to baptize dear Sister Sarah. Let's pray. Dear Holy God, I do ask in the name of Jesus that you help us keep these things distinct.